Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message is our gospel reading. I'd like to draw your attention once more to two of the verses in that text. First of all, verse 37, where Jesus says, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." And then verse 44, "Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." This is our text. Now, last Sunday, for those that were here, we ended the church year with a focused eye upon what is called the end times, the final day of judgment. Now, today, we begin this new church year with the season of Advent, as we just finished saying, a season that focuses the attention of Christ's church on preparation. But it is not just intended to prepare us Christians for the celebration of Jesus' first advent, his coming here in human flesh. It is also designed, as we just said, to prepare us for the journey that we will take through each of the seasons ahead, recounting the life and teachings of Jesus, especially, of course, his suffering, death, and resurrection in our place. We do that in the seasons of Lent and Easter. But it continues all the way through that long season of Pentecost, at least long for some people, the green season that we just finished, where the Holy Spirit works through God's Word to grow us in our faith and our Christian lives, to prepare us, in fact, to bring us back full circle to the promise of Jesus' second advent, when he will come to usher in the fulfillment of the kingdom of God in all of its eternal heavenly glory. You see, that's why this gospel reading today for the first Sunday in Advent begins the church year, by preparing us for the day when our Lord Jesus will judge the living and the dead. Now, in our text, Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives with his disciples, and it tells us that they are having a private conversation. How privileged it is for us to listen in on that conversation. Jesus is answering the question that his disciples raised about what signs we should all expect that will alert us to Jesus' coming at the close of the age. And Matthew records today's portion of Jesus' answer with Jesus pointing us all to the gift that we already have in Holy Scripture, which prepares us for that day. Jesus even says in verse 25, just before our text, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." And then Jesus tells us that immediately before he comes, things in this world will be just like they have been every other day, just as they are today, where the world just goes about its normal business. The same for Christians and unbelievers alike. There's eating and drinking. There's marriage ceremonies, men and women at work, with no noticeable difference between those who are saved and those who are not. Until suddenly, the final day of judgment just appears. It is here. And it's then that the truth will actually be revealed that there was a difference among us after all. Because some of the people actually were watching, were eagerly prepared for the kingdom of God, while others were not. So, how do we recognize God's kingdom? Well, the kingdom of God comes in two ways. First, God's kingdom comes to us here and now by grace. That is God's undeserved loving work in and among us. And then, the second, on the last day, God's kingdom will come with power for the righteous judgment of all souls of all time. These are two of the three advents or comings that we think about during this season. The first advent was when Christ was born in Bethlehem. We celebrate that at Christmas, but it is in the past. So we can't experience it firsthand or prepare for it since it has already come. However, the second advent of Christ is a present tense reality for all of us. Right now, when we hear God's word, as we repent, and we receive his daily gift of grace. That's the second coming. And the third, there is Christ's final advent, when he comes to all souls in the final judgment. And so it's helpful, I think, to remember what Luther's Small Catechism teaches us about what we pray for when we say, "Thy kingdom come," in the Lord's Prayer. Luther leads us to ask, how does God's kingdom come? And he answers, God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. In other words, God's kingdom of grace is not perceived with human eyes. You can't just see it and touch it. But his kingdom is recognized by the ears. And guess what? We hear so many different messages in this world, don't we? And it is by his gift of faith that we recognize and we discern the gift of God's kingdom. By the gift of faith. By faith. By faith, we discern that what the world offers to us is actually darkness. Everything that the world values most, drinking parties, sensuality, gratifying the desires of the flesh, these are what St. Paul in our epistle reading today calls, quote, the works of darkness. And he goes on, so then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. The opposite of that, according to verse 10, is love. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law, says Paul in verse 10. So each one of us, this is silent participation time, okay? Each one of us then needs to consider right now today, how would my life be characterized right now? I don't want you thinking about your neighbor's life or someone else's life that you know needs to be fixed, quote unquote. How is my life characterized right now? Have I given myself over to the works of darkness? Think on that for a moment. Paul says orgies and drunkenness, sexual immorality, quarreling and jealousy. And there are so many more. Or, am I demonstrating the love that puts my neighbor ahead of myself? Then consider, friends, this beautiful mystery of Advent. Jesus comes in love to you here and now. To you who have not loved, perhaps. To you who have not obeyed the commandments. I'm not going to say perhaps on that one. Or who up to this point, as Paul says, have made, quote, provision for the flesh to gratify your own desires. It is to each one of us right here, right now, in our guilt, in the fullness of Christ's love and mercy and forgiveness, that the kingdom of God is recognized and received through his gift of faith. Is that the kingdom that you are praying for this Advent? It's a stark contrast to the kingdom of the natural sinful self, isn't it? Because apart from Christ, we desire what? Wealth and riches, prestige and power, comfort, and whatever else brings us personal pleasure. Yes, twisted by our own narcissism and self-love, our ideas of the kingdom only end up perverted and corrupt. But Jesus calls us sinners today to a kingdom of love and mercy. And how does that kingdom come? Well, when Jesus in our text calls himself the Son of Man, that is the one who comes to judge between believer and unbeliever, he shows us that he is the same Son of Man that Matthew 20, 18, and 19 speaks of earlier and says, the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And he will be raised on the third day. That's the secret, the great truth. Jesus, hanging up on his cross, took our own curse upon himself. The curse of death that seeks to remove us from God's kingdom, and he buries that. Now, most often, we take sin too lightly, which leads us to imagine that it can be dismissed lightly. But when we look at the Son of Man, friends, every one of our iniquities, we realize, must be paid for, or else we remain in our guilt. Must be. Jesus used that strong language when he said in Luke 9, 22, it is necessary, the Greek word is day, it is necessary for the Son of Man to suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. God's word says it must happen. The Son of Man must suffer and die, and he must come under the Father's punishment if you and I are to be restored to God's kingdom. And we are, because he did. For those, though, who reject and despise the gift of God's kingdom and mercy, judgment comes suddenly. Jesus, in fact, takes us back into the Old Testament to use an example, the example of the great flood. In the days of Noah, the unrighteous, that is all but those 8 people in Noah's family, were unprepared. They were too preoccupied with the things of this world. What about you and me? As were the days of Noah, Jesus says in verses 37 to 39 of our text, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. When the floods did come, it was too late to prepare, too late to repent. But you see, it's not like they didn't have their chance. because God had been warning them constantly for the 75 to 100 years that it took Noah to build the ark. That's a lot of warning. Look, none of us, not one of us knows when our last earthly hour will come. And Jesus is clear in his warning to us here today, the same is true for the day of judgment. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. Now, the activities that Jesus says will be going on at that time, they represent all of our daily cares and pursuits. Eating and drinking stands for the pleasures of this life. Marriage stands for our relationships with others. And buying, selling, planting, and building indicate our possessions. You could sum it up with three P's: pleasures, people, and possessions. All wonderful gifts given to us by God. But they can also end up driving us away from God if we are not careful. And so Jesus tells us here in advance that we must be aware that these things don't distract us from God's kingdom. Instead, he's given them to us for us to use so that we are prepared for his coming. Peter says in 2 Peter 2, 5, verse 5 and 9, if God did not spare the ancient world but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. Peter also says that God made Sodom and Gomorrah, quote, an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. Now, certainly, God did not cause Peter's words to be recorded and preserved only to teach and guide the people in Peter's day, did he? No. These basic, simple Bible stories serve as God's way of putting real life, historical examples in front of all of us so that we will all be prepared for the Lord's judgment. So that we won't get caught up in the things that the world prizes so much instead. So, how would God have you and me prepare this Advent? 1 Corinthians 1, 6 through 8 says this: the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? The Lord wants us to be guiltless and lacking in no spiritual gift. Well, great. How can we do that? Jesus taught us in Matthew 6, verse 33. I kind of have a special affinity for this verse because it's my confirmation verse. I had a wise pastor that apparently knew I was going to need this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, make sure that you have got your priorities in the right order now. God and his word and will first. So, when he then is your first love and focus, then as Romans 8:28 tells us, he works all other things together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. In another sermon, Jesus warned believers, quote, remember Lot's wife. Now, I don't know how many of you might remember Lot's wife. She's the one who was guilty of looking back That is, longing for the earthly possessions that perished when sulfur rained down on the city of Sodom as they were fleeing. But God warned them all beforehand not to look back or they would die. And that is exactly what happened when she looked back. That same principle still applies to you and me today, folks. Now that we have been embraced by God and His grace, now that we have been wrapped in Jesus' saving work so that our guilt is indeed washed away by His blood, now that He has gifted us with His full forgiveness and eternal salvation in His heavenly glory, Jesus directs us today as we ride out the storms and the chaos of this world in the safety of His ark, that is, His church. Don't look back with longing to the things of this world. Look only to Him and His kingdom of mercy and love. Look to Jesus, who shows us His mercy even before He comes in judgment. This, then, is how we begin Advent. We live in hopeful expectation, longing for Jesus' return, when Paul says, quote, "We will always be with the Lord." Oh, that'll be so awesome. Because it's then and there that there will be no more suffering or sin, no more stress or strife, no more disease or difficulty, but only the perfection of paradise in the glory of our Savior forevermore. And the beauty of Jesus is we don't have to wait for the last day for Him to come. Even now, His kingdom comes among us in His grace. He comes to us as He promised in Hebrews 1 verse 14 with His angels and archangels, whom God sends, quote, "to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation." That's us. Likewise, He comes to us not by a sign that the world can see. Nevertheless, He is truly present in our hearts and minds. Wherever and whenever we hear and we read His inspired word of truth, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to guide us, and perfect us and protect us until He comes again in the flesh. Which then points as well to Jesus' present day coming right here at this altar, where we hear this promise, "Take, eat, this is My body given for you. Take, drink, this is My blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." My dear Christians, here and now, in your very midst, you are blessed by the fact that God's kingdom of grace comes to you in His word and sacrament. And in that word, He has prepared you for the coming of His Son. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.